Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. I'm not going to make you sing it. Kids know it, but I won't make the adults sing it. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little feet. Excuse me. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. It's a child song. It's a fun little song. But I ask myself, should I sing that song to myself every day? Because do I need to make sure where my eyes are looking, where my ears are hearing, what my hands are doing, where my feet are going on a daily basis. So we could change that song by saying, oh, be careful, big ears, what you hear. Because I have big ears now. I have ears that hear things that other people don't hear. I have ears that hear things that Lincoln doesn't hear right now. I have ears that Isaac doesn't hear now. I hopefully have a tongue that doesn't say things they shouldn't hear. Because it's easy sometimes to say things they shouldn't hear. And I need to be careful of my hands, what I do with them. Because my hands can lead me astray. And my feet can lead me astray also. So we need to think about that song as I go through my lesson this morning. Oh, be careful. You know, all my kids are grown up, so I pretty much let them handle their own hands and feet and ears and eyes. But I have grandchildren in my house now. And sometimes they hear things they shouldn't hear. Sometimes they say things I shouldn't hear them saying, and I have to get on them. But then I have to ask myself, did they hear that from me? Did they hear me talking smartly to Grandma and say, think they can smart off to Grandma? Well, they get in trouble for doing it. They don't see Grandpa get in trouble for doing it till later. Grandpa gets in trouble later. He gets the look, and he knows he's in trouble later. But the kids, they get in trouble right away because we're trying to teach them. So we need to remember that song in our daily walks of lives. There are three examples of scriptures I want to look at this morning. They're all familiar scriptures to us. We could recite them verbatim probably if we wanted to. The first one's in Luke chapter 18, starting the 18th verse. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save that one is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And we heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And we know the other part, he walked away. I have done all kinds of good things since my youth. I have done everything. What you lack I to become one with you. And Christ said, sell everything you have. Get rid of what you have. Give away your life for me. And this man wasn't willing to give away his life for them. And that's something I need to think about on a daily basis. Am I willing to give up what I have to serve Christ? Nothing hurts me worse than it happened last night a couple times. I'm sitting in my easy chair watching television, basketball game I think it was or something, and Blake brings a book up and I say, "Come on up here on my lap." He gets on my lap. I said, "Just look at the book. I'm paying attention to what's on the TV right now. But Grandpa, I want you to read me the book." "No, you just look at the pictures. I'm going to look at the TV for a little bit." I was unwinding. That's the way I unwound last night. So he looked at the book for a little bit, then he decided, well, I'm going to go find something funner to do. And next thing I know, Isaac's over doing the same thing. Grandpa, get him off your lap. He tries to climb off my lap. He gets on my lap, has a book in his hand. Grandpa, read me the book. I want to watch TV right now. I want to unwind. And I felt bad about it after I did it. But the damage had already been done. I'd already told him I didn't want to read a book to him. So he said, well, I'll go find something else to do. Hopefully I don't do that when it comes to his spiritual walk. I don't squash his dreams and his hopes. So I need to be ready to actually sacrifice something for Christ. I need to be willing to say to myself, oh, be careful, little eyes, little ears, little feet, what am I doing? Matthew chapter 6, starting in the 19th verse. Matthew chapter 6, starting in the 19th verse. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The light of the body is the eye. We have to have a single eye. That single eye should be so focused on Christ and my work, my walk towards Him. Where is my treasure? Is my treasure in what my eyes see around me, or what my eye sees before me? Christ and what He can do for me. Because I jokingly said yesterday, as I was sitting with Lisa and Greg up at the hospital, I said, you know, I looked at my watch about 4 o'clock, and I said, I'm missing the camper show in Des Moines. Doug, you've already got a camper. Don't worry about campers. You know, that wasn't the appropriate thing to say at that point in time. But I said it. Because why did I say it? Because my eye this week saw nice campers parking at the fairgrounds. Nice campers all week. Then they started disappearing into the building. And I knew the show was coming up. And I thought, well, it'd be kind of nice to go look at that. I don't need a camper. I've got a camper. But I am a camper mentality kind of guy. I see them. I want to go look at them. I started when I was young, little pup. You know, I used to be small, young. We would go to the camper shows with Dad. And the first camper show I went to, I remember, they used to have guys come and do weird things. I think this is where my fear of snakes came from. We were at a camper show in Indianapolis, and they had a guy that put a straitjacket on, hung by his feet with a boa constrictor wrapped around him, and they hoisted him up to the top of the building, and he was going to get out of that straitjacket before the boa constrictor got to where it constricted him. Well, about halfway through the show, that boa constrictor hit the ground and started slithering around. I was on top of a camper. I think that's where my fear came from. I need to have that kind of fear when it comes to serving Christ. I need to realize there are other things in my life that will cause me damage and cause me harm, and I need to be scared of those things. I'm petrified of snakes, and that may be where it came from. I'll blame my dad for that, I guess. But you know, I wish I was that petrified about things around me in the world sometimes, too, and I'm not. And I need to remember the scripture, where is my treasure laid up at? And, of course, we have the example in Luke chapter 12, I won't go there, of the farmer that had the big barns. And he had a great crop come in. And what did he do? He took and he said, I got to have more barn space. Tear down my old barns, build bigger. Had to be a big building, quick building party. I mean, if he's bringing a crop in, he's getting a building put up quick enough, put it in there. It had to be a quick building party for one thing. But he was centered on what is in it for me. What am I looking at? His eyes, his feet, his heart, everything was centered on what's going to make me comfortable. Nothing wrong with him doing that, except he took God out of the equation. He put himself in front of the situation. He forgot those words, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. What he saw was, I have all this enormous possibility, but I need to store it someplace because I don't want it to go ruined. If it ruins, it ain't worth nothing to me. So I'm going to put it in good storage where I can eat, drink, and be merry for a long time. And isn't that why we have jobs, in a way? That's why, if I wasn't like that, I'd sit at home every day. I'd just say, that van can sit there for a week, nobody's going to miss it. But that's why I go to work on a daily basis. If we're going to get downright brutally honest with ourselves, why do we go to work? Because we need to, for one thing. We're told to support our families, support ourselves. But yet I do it because I can get things off of that work I do. I can get things. Where the grub comes in is when I say, okay, I can do this and get this, but I could do this and get this much more. I mean, I could go to the fairgrounds and buy one of them fancy campers. I got ways I can get money, but that's not right because I'm putting myself ahead of what I should be doing. If I've got the money to do that, I should have the money to do like Derek says, be benevolent to somebody, give something. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to do it eventually. Probably not when my wife's present because I don't know what she'll think of it. But I don't go to McDonald's and Burger King much anymore. I'm trying to lay off that kind of food. But I've always thought what would happen if I went to McDonald's one time in the drive-thru and did the old pay for the car behind me. Now, I'd make sure it wasn't my kids in the car behind me because they would order a bunch of stuff. They don't know you're going to pay for it, though. But I know what my kids are capable of ordering, and it might be expensive. So I have a tendency to look in the rearview mirror. Okay, there's two people in that car. It's not going to be that expensive. Is this the time I make the jump? If a 15-passenger van pulls up behind me, am I going to be that willing to make that jump and say, I'll pay for the car behind me? Probably not going to happen. But I am starting to hand out money out the window of my van more and more when I pull up the stop signs. Now, I'll do it once or twice, but if I pull up the third or fourth day in a row and that same guy's standing there with a motorcycle or a bike and he hasn't moved, he's there every day, I mean, he moves at night, I'm going to not probably hand to him anymore because at that point in time, he's just becoming dependent on that money. But we need to be more willing to accept ourselves as who we are and give some of that we have to other people. I can say that because I don't think any of my kids are suffering right now. I don't think I'm to the point where I'm leaving them destitute without money. Now, last night I was driving one of my kids' cars and I noticed it had a quarter tank of gas in it. I didn't ask them. I just drove it to the gas station, filled it up. And I know she noticed it when she went to drive home last night. But she won't tell me anything about it. But next time she sees me, she may give me a hug and say thank you. I'm not looking for that. I just thought, well, I'll just go fill it up for them. But am I willing to do that for other people? I'm not going to pull up Quick Trip next week and say, okay, everybody in this line of cars, I'm paying for your gas. But I need to be more willing with myself to become more to the people around me. If I do a deep introspective of myself, I should be able to look at those stories in the Scripture and say to myself, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Am I being like those people? Open my eyes that I may see. I could place myself in each and every one of those scenarios and probably have placed myself in each of those scenarios, and I would be guilty of some of those same offenses. And I'm not talking about just today. I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about all the time. I need to be watching myself and how I act. Am I selfish? Yes, I'm selfish. I'm so selfish that when the kids come over and they want to look at my NASCAR stuff that's in my glass cases, I don't think so. I'm breaking down a little bit and letting them touch them a little bit now. But I'm selfish because I don't want those getting torn up. Why am I selfish? Because that's how I'm going to pay for Nathan's inheritance someday. No, that's how those are important to me. But is God not as important to me, more important to me than those cars and those haulers should be? Yes, he should be way more important than that. But I don't think about what I do for God, do to God. Am I self-centered? Yes, I'm much self-centered. I'm foolish, and I'm definitely not always satisfied. And that's what all these examples were about that we read about. Being selfish, being self-centered, being foolish, and being not satisfied. And all those things will drag us away from Christ and from God in our lives. There's a song, and I'm starting to look more at songs in the Red Songbook because I've heard some people talking before, and it's not here, but it's just, you know, hear conversations, you hear radio things. When you sing songs out of the Red Book, Do you realize what you're singing? Do you understand what you're singing? I could take about everyone. Watch me at the nursing home. I'm not bragging. Watch me at the nursing home tonight. I won't even look at this book half the time when I'm standing there, because I know these. I've sung them for 40 years, 50 years. I'm 50 years. I understand, but do I really understand what I'm saying? Do I really have my heart set on what I'm saying in these words? You know, there's comedians out there that'll make fun of it, but there are some that are serious about it, you know. Turn your eyes to Jesus, you know. Are you looking down at your feet when you're saying, turn your eyes to Jesus? Oh, happy day. Are you shaking your head no when you're singing, oh, happy day? Those kinds of things. But we really, I think I can do more sometimes for people if they hear me singing, but they hear me singing from my heart. They know I'm singing it. That's kind of why, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not bragging. I'm not saying I'm good. That's why I won't look at the book half the time if I don't have to. I'd love to be able to get up here on a Sunday morning and just lead every song I want to lead without looking at the book. Because to me, that makes me think more of the words. But right now, if I were to try that, I'd be thinking, man, I hope I don't mess up. I hope I don't say the wrong word. I've done it from the pulpit with Scripture. What makes me think I won't do it from the pulpit with a songbook? But I need to be willing to do that. There's one song I was thinking of, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. It's 6:05 in the red, but if you think about the song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou wouldst bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears, within, without. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Who's sitting here this morning cannot take somewhere in that song and place themselves in that song? Just as I am, without one plea, I have to have my soul rid of one dark blot. We all have a dark blot on our soul, do we not? I can't go up to the pearly gates and say, Grandpa Owens went here, Grandpa Owens went to Chapel Glen, whatever, and I should be allowed to come in just because Grandpa Owens did. No, the blot that was taken off Grandpa Owens' soul isn't the blot that's coming off my soul. My blot has to come off of my soul. The one gets me is just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. Who of us sitting here today can't say that truly? Who has fightings within and without? I am always torn up. I'm always thinking, what can I do or what's happening to me? Why are these things happening? I'm poor, wretched, blind. I'm sight rich as healing of the mind. But you know what it says? Yea, and all I need in thee to find. I can find it all through Christ. I take 6 different pills every morning when I get out of bed, when I'm done showering. I couldn't tell you a thing about what them pills do for me. But I know if I don't take them, I'm going to be tired halfway through the day. I'm going to have a headache. I'm going to not be myself. And Lisa's going to look at me and say, forgot to take your pills, didn't you? So they're sitting right there by the toothbrush. So when I get done, I know I got to take them. Why do I not think I got to open the Bible on a daily basis and look into the Bible? Why do I have trouble praying to Christ or praying to God as I go through the struggles of this life? Why do I have trouble doing that? I don't have trouble taking my pills because I know I got to take them. But yet, do I have trouble talking to God on a daily basis? I think I do. I know I do. Bless you if you don't have trouble, but I do. But I need to start training myself to do that. I need to realize that it's just as I am. It's the way I am. I just never wasn't brought up that way. My family never sat down and said prayers on a regular basis, so I wasn't trained to do that. I've heard about it for 50 years, but I haven't trained myself to do it. I need to start training myself to do it. It's cute as thunder now when we say a prayer at home for dinner, because I'm waiting for her to do it here. I don't know if she does it here or not. But when we're done saying a prayer, Eva's holding our hands, And when we're done, she hears the amen. She scores a touchdown when she says the amen. And we jokingly say we have a Protestant in the family, not because she raises her hand. But she knows she's hearing the prayer. And she'll bow her head and she'll look up every once in a while and see who's looking. And sometimes she'll find Grandpa looking around saying, is Eva looking to see if I'm looking or not? But it's just cute as thunder when she raises her hand. But yet, I don't see anybody in here raising their hand in the touchdown signal when it's done, because we just never have done that before. It's just something we don't do. But boy, once or twice it happened, it might become something that some people did. There's a flag flown from the castle of my heart. You ever seen Dan Green? I've seen him raise his hand during that song. No problem. I don't know. It says right there at the top of the song. This song is usually sung with hand raised. But boy, some people would look at that and think, what's he doing? But I'm not brave enough to do that yet, but he did it. Hey, have at it. I was at a church, Chapel Glen, years ago. They had some black gentlemen. I had a black gentleman there. It's been the last 10 years. They had a black gentleman there. And during the lesson, he was Eric Owens for Chapel Glen that day. Eric Owens likes to say amen. I've never been comfortable saying amen from the pew. I thought, well, here's my chance. Then I don't do it. But you'll always hear it. But this gentleman, he was a visitor, I think. I don't think he was a member at that point in time yet. But he was sitting towards the front of the building, and he was amen. Amen. He was amen in a whole lot during that service. And during the prayer, he had his hands like this. So he was into it. I'm not saying we all have to do that, but we have to become comfortable with what we do. But we not have to not let the people around us influence the way we act. I think I mentioned, maybe I didn't mention it, but we had a gentleman at work the other day, a couple months ago. He was working a shop, and another gentleman sneezed. And he said, God bless you. He had a 25-minute sermon preached to him, and not a very nice sermon at that point in time, about, I don't believe in God, I don't want to be told God bless you, and all this stuff. So I said, man, I hope he never rides in my van, because he's going to hear, my radio's turned to gospel preaching or singing most of the day. But that's just the way he feels. But yet I need to make sure that I don't change myself just because of him. That's where I think I need to be careful with my eyes and my ears and my feet. But then again, I don't want to just walk into that situation either and say, I want you riding me because I want to do this to you. No, I don't do that either, because that just would damage it more than anything else. But I like that song, Just As I Am Without One Plea. What plea did I have before Christ came? I didn't have one. I was worse than the rich beggar, or the rich, there I did it to you. I was worse than the rich man in torment, looking at Lazarus saying, come put a drop of water on my feet. Without Christ's sacrifice, I didn't even have a chance. Without Christ's sacrifice, none of us had a chance. We were all just as we are without one plea. The plea came when Christ came and gave himself on the cross for us. So we spend our lives daily in service to many things. We spend them in service to family, to friends, to work, to school. And we have to constantly be on guard to keep ourselves looking good in our physical lives and actions. That's what we more think about, I think, on a daily basis. How do I look in my daily walk? But yet, that's my daily walk with Goodwin Tucker, my daily walk with my friends, my daily walk with the way I drive my car, stuff like that. Why don't I give the same consideration to my daily walk with Christ? Do people at work know I have Christ in my heart? I hope they do, but yet I can also damage that real quick by some of my other actions and words that I say. Luke chapter 9, starting in the 23rd verse. I'm looking at my notes here. Nathan always tells me, I've told Nathan before, if you look at my notes when I get done giving a lesson, you're going to wonder where they came from. Because I actually started on page 2 today. Now I'm back to page 3, and I'm going to go at page 1 for a second there. So, when I write it down, Mike, I think, does the same thing. He's got it all over the place. Well, it happens. You think it's going to flow, but then you think, well, I'm going to make it flow a little better this way. So I'm trying to keep track of where I'm supposed to be on my notes here. Luke chapter 9. I could jokingly say that's coming from a guy that can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but I won't say that. But Luke chapter 9, starting the 23rd verse. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake, the same shall save it. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I was baptized 45 years ago, whatever it was. Same night, one of my sisters was baptized. I can remember that, but I can't tell you the date it was or whatever. And it was towards winter time. We'd had dinner at Marvin and Melda's house that day, I think. But anyway, I have to remember that even though I was baptized 45 years ago, I still, on a daily basis, need to take up my cross and follow Christ. Just because I have been baptized, I have a certificate that says baptized at Church Christ in Speedway, Indiana, doesn't mean that I don't have to take up my cross on a daily basis. I daily need to take up my cross and follow Christ. We strive to serve God. We strive not to serve men. We serve men because we have to serve man, or we're not going to survive. It's just the rule of life. Unless we're all just going to sit here and let the church support us for the rest of our lives, which isn't what God wants. It isn't what Christ wants. He tells us we're to take care of our own selves, our own families. But yet on a daily basis, I need to work to strive to serve God. He tells us if we love him, we will keep his commandments. You know, I'm not going to go out and do something that's going to cost me my job at Goodwin Tucker. But if my job at Goodwin Tucker is going to cost me my eternal life, then I think I better make a decision real quick how I'm going to go. Luckily, I haven't been approached with that decision needing to be made yet, but there could come a time. It's happened even to people in this group. It's happened to other people where they had to make that decision, am I going to serve God or am I going to serve man? So we need to know where we're focused at. If it ever came to that, Nathan asked me this morning, how much you make, Dad? Because he just got a new job. I said, well, I make enough to tell you. I don't have to tell you what I make. Don't need to know what I make. But yeah, if God looks at me and says, Doug, how much are you making? I really don't think you should be doing that. Then I need to decide if that amount of money is worth my soul. Or am I going to take up my cross and follow him? And he'll take care of me. It may be a little while, but he'll take care of me. But it's hard on me. The problem is, it's hard on me. I'm not willing to make that sacrifice. But yet I got to remember who made the ultimate sacrifice for me. Because I was without a plea until that sacrifice was made. I would have just trudged through this life. We're always looking to improve ourselves. I don't want to knock anybody that improves themselves because I'm looking to improve myself too. I've thought about recently because we had that notice came out at work, who has an associate's degree? Well, I've been thinking about, okay, am I going to go online, look, see what associate's degree, what's the easiest one I can get? I don't know what I'm going to do yet. But hey, I'll improve myself. That might give me a chance somewhere down the line to improve myself. But I also need to be doing that with Christ and with God in my life. I need to be continually studying the Bible and studying what I'm doing in my life. Just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. I've shed blood for Goodwin Tucker. But I've never shed blood for Christ. I've never shed blood like Christ did for me. He doesn't ask me to shed my blood for him. He just asked me to come and take part of the blood that he shed for me, just as I am without one plea. We know the rich man was lost. He was lost. Nothing Lazarus could do was going to bring him back at that point in time. Nothing he could do was going to bring him back. Until that time comes, I'm never not given the opportunity to come to Christ and say, I have just one plea. Please forgive me. Please make me whole again. You know, I don't know what it is. Just this year's been rough on us. I've looked at a lot of bodies in caskets this year, and I'm sure there's going to be some more. And I heard at work the other day, one of our guys took 2 days off because he was having chest pains. I had a cousin just recently who was having chest pains. It's scary. It's scary because you just don't know. I mean, I'm looking at Bob laying there last week, and he looked just like Bob. Bob, wake up, wake up. But I can't do that. He's gone. His chances are not over because he's going to a better place, and I want to go to that better place. But the only way I'm going to do that, the only way I'm going to do that is if I come to Christ on a daily basis and say, just as I am without one plea, please make me whole again. I have problems. I have issues in my life. Problem is I forget about that. If I have an issue at work, I hear of an open door policy, I can go talk to them. They'll give me help. Why would I think Christ is any less able to give me help? He has the biggest open door policy around. All he says is come. He doesn't ask us why or what. He just wants us to come to him. Did he question the lady when the men wanted her stoned? No. He looked at her after they had left and said, you're healed. You're whole again. He knew in her heart that she was feeling bad, I'm sure, about what had happened. But words didn't need to be spoken. So Christ wants us to speak words to him. He wants us to come forward initially and say, hey, I have not one plea. Please take away my sins. Please allow me to be baptized into your death and resurrection. But after that, we plead with him on a daily basis through our prayers and through our singing and through our lives. But yet there are times when we need to maybe get a little closer to him and really say, I have but one plea. Please make me whole again. If you have anything in your life that is holding you back, or you have not accepted Christ into your life, need to be baptized, please, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the closing song.